Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And in this message, I'm going to spend a little bit more time in verses 17 and 18. There's a lot more to say and to explain with a little bit more detail in comparison with what I said in the previous message. So this is a follow-up to the previous message, but I'm going another layer into the content in order to better explain the magnitude of what Paul communicates. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, he said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." All right, now in the previous message, I emphasized the point that many people do take the position that if you're not going to walk as the Gentiles walk, then perhaps you're going to walk as the Jews walk. And I was explaining in the previous message that that's no way to go either. That it's not a matter of trying to make a Gentile into a Jew, and it certainly is not about trying to make a Jew into a Gentile. But this tends to be the direction that people go in. Now, of course, you will find it very difficult for a Christian to suggest that we are to be like a Jew. I did mention in the previous program that there are some people who take that position of saying, if we can just become more like a Jew, you know, Jesus was a Jew. If we become more Jewish, then we'll be closer to God as Jesus was closer to God. These are some of the things that I have heard people say over the years. But within the majority of Christianity, you will find very few people would go in that direction and would in fact protest. The overwhelming majority of people in the Christian world would protest that kind of a direction. They would say that that definitely is not appropriate, that we are not to just become like Jews. They recognize that. However, what they teach effectively does the same thing. What they present in the context of discipleship of a Christian and the way that a Christian should live does have the exact same effect. Because even though you don't get focused on the Mosaic law just in and of itself, and Jewish traditions, if you want to add those into the discussion as well, even though you don't go in that direction, there are other ways to still have the same effect. These other ways have to do with the effect of the law, no matter what the law is. Any standard of obedience, any standard of repent and obey, God will bless you if you succeed. He will curse you if you fail, or some derivative of that. If that is the direction that a person lives in, if that's how a person relates to their God, that it's all based on how well they get their flesh under control, which is effectively what that becomes, if that's what it's about, then of course, when people fail, then they will not be loved by their God, they will not be accepted by their God, they will be rejected by their God, He will be fully disgusted with them, and they will definitely be alienated from the life of God, and I will spend some more time talking about this in a few minutes. All right, now going back to verse 17, not walking as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now you have to understand that people in general, they do walk, they do live their lives with some kind of standard, with some set of principles, with some idea of what is good and what is evil. And the Gentiles certainly did not have an absolute definition of this as the Jews had from God directly, the Mosaic law. The Gentiles did not have that, but they still had a standard they still had a law. They still had an individual system of good and evil, right and wrong. It just wasn't codified in the same way as the Jews had it. They did have discussions. They did have standards. They did have systems of law. There were different religious systems within the Gentile world over the course of history that defined a set of laws and principles of what is right and wrong, good and evil. So there was plenty of it. There was an abundance of this. And everyone in their life will have some kind of a standard through which they walk. The futility of their mind is not because it is inconsistent with the Mosaic law. The futility of their mind has to do with the effect of what they believe good and evil should be and how it would relate to them personally and how they would relate to others and how that would establish their right standing before their God. It would be futile because they would never fulfill their own standard personally. People, of course, are really good at imposing their standard on other people, you know, by saying things like, that's just not right, or this is the way things should be. This is how you should behave. This is how somebody else should behave. This is how these decisions should be made by these people who are in power. You know, there are so many different subtle ways that people will communicate their standard of good and evil. The futility has to do with the fact that none of these mechanisms, none of these standards of living by the knowledge of good and evil will ever lead a person to being at peace with God. They will never know their God. They will never have a place in the kingdom of heaven because of their repentance and obedience to whatever standard they may want to define, not even the one that God defined. And that was the point of his definition, among several other reasons. But one of the main points of his definition of the Mosaic Law was to be able to use it at some point to demonstrate that there is no way that anyone will ever be able to be a part of his kingdom, will ever be able to be in his home personally, to dwell with him throughout all eternity. No one will ever make it according to the knowledge of good and evil, according to repentance and obedience. That's why it is futile. They walk in the futility of their mind because whether they have the Mosaic law or not, they still walk by a law. The Jews had their law. They had the law that was given to them through Moses by God himself, and it was futile for them. This was one of the primary purposes of Jesus' ministry, was to show them that they were never going to have a place in the kingdom of heaven because they were never going to be obedient enough to God. They were never going to repent and obey enough. He told them directly, your righteousness even has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, which was another way to state the fact that with you, it will be futile. It will be absolutely futile. So what happens in the modern age in the Christian world? Well, you get saved. You know, you're saved by grace and God just takes you where you are. And then you get buried under a system of religious law, depending upon the congregation you're a part of, depending upon your denomination, whoever is leading the congregation, whoever these people will be, who will be in a position of leadership over you, will impose a system of law upon you to live by, which you will not be able to fulfill. And you will again find yourself in a life of futility, in a state of living in the futility of your own mind. And that's exactly where you are in bondage. You are in bondage to a system of religious law in your own mind, and God has nothing to do with it at all. He is not a part of it at all. And until a Christian recognizes that there is a new covenant that has been established, until you recognize what it means, what the Christian life is about now in terms of living in the love and acceptance of your God, if you never make it that far, then you will remain stuck in the futility of your own mind. separated from God in your own mind. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They are not alienated from the law of God. The law of God is what alienates a person from God. It alienates them because when you fail, you are rejected by your God. You are rejected. This is the purpose of the law, to show you that you have no hope outside of His grace and mercy. Being alienated from the life of God does not mean you are alienated from the law of God, but this is exactly what people have been saying ever since Jesus rose from the dead. In one way or another, this has been the predominant message in the Christian world ever since the founding of the church, that you need to be sure that you are close to, that you embrace the law of God. And of course, most would never say the Mosaic Law. They will take a subset of it. They will take a portion of it. They'll take the laws that are more convenient. They'll take the laws that they've been able to extract through involved, in-depth study to say these still apply. You know, there's many ways to do that. But what that means is that you are embracing the law of God, just not all of it, you know, but still part of it will still have the same effect. It will alienate you from your God because of your failure. You will fail. And when you do, you will be rejected by God, which means you will be alienated from the love of God. You will be alienated from the acceptance of God. And then what are you going to do? What are you really going to do? If God does not love you, if He does not accept you, and you really do need to be loved, don't you? And you need to be accepted, don't you? That's part of who you are. As a person who God created you, He designed you in this way, that you would need to be loved, need to be accepted perfectly. But now the one, the only one who can love you in the way that He designed you, the only one who can accept you in the way that He designed you, well, you are alienated from that because of your sin, which seems to be never ending. You know, you never get it right. And so what are you going to do now? What are you going to do in order to get a break from all the religious pressure that you're going to feel? And you better feel it, because if you don't, it just means that you were not as sincere. You are not as devoted to what you say you believe as you need to be. You need to be more committed, more devoted to this religious nonsense that you decided to embrace. You need to really believe it and not just pretend that you do or tell other people to do this. You do this, and then you really feel the rejection of God. You really feel that God does not love you. He does not accept you. And you know exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go and get some more sin in your life in order to get a break from all of that religious pressure. That's right. You're going to need some more sin in your life in order to get somebody to say to you that they love you, or give you the impression that they do, or give you the sense or the feeling that maybe you're accepted. You're going to need some sin, because you're definitely not getting this from God. And then, what are you going to do next? You know, and this becomes the futility. This becomes the futility in your mind of being alienated from the love of God, from the acceptance of God. That's fundamentally what Paul meant in verse 18 when he said, alienated from the life of God. The life of God is the Holy Spirit of God. And we, of course, were born into this world spiritually dead. We need the forgiveness of God so that we can receive the life of God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us, and so that we can be made spiritually alive. That's the gospel. The gospel has to do with sin and death. Sin entered into the world. Mankind died spiritually. That means the Spirit of God was withdrawn from humanity. Everyone since Adam and Eve have been born into this world without the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We are born spiritually dead with a need for the sin issue to be resolved. Our God resolved the sin issue a long time ago when he personally came and died for the sins of the world, once and for all, never to come and deal with it again. He dealt with the sin issue once and for all so that when he would restore the Holy Spirit to us, the Spirit of life that was lost in Adam, when he would restore his Spirit to dwell within us, there would be no sin left unforgiven that would cause the Holy Spirit to depart from us ever again. That is the fundamental purpose for the forgiveness of sins. It is so that we might be made alive eternally. That eternal life is something that we can have right now and today and will carry us on into eternity even after we physically die. This is the gospel. The good news is that he has resolved the sin problem so that he can make us spiritually alive, and this is because his life dwells within us. Being alienated from the life of God has to do with not having the life of God, not having the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And of course, Paul was referring to the Gentiles, but he was referring to the Jews as well. He was referring to the Gentiles in this letter, but he definitely was not excluding the Jews in this context because they need to be saved just as a Gentile needs to be saved through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. When he dwells within us, that is a fundamental way of understanding the acceptance of God. It's a fundamental way of understanding the love of God. If he is there within you, that is a profound description of acceptance. You know, he accepts you well enough to be in you, to be with you, to be in your presence. He is there. He is here. He is within his children, within the people who have been saved. You cannot be alienated from the life of God when the life of God dwells within you permanently. The only way that you can be alienated from he who accepts you perfectly and dwells within you, the only way you can be alienated from that is if you are deceived. You are deceived by believing things that are not true, which leads you back into verse 17, which means you're going to live in the futility of your mind. So in verse 18, when he has this phrase saying, from the life of God, what is the effect of the life of God? It means that you can be the recipient of his acceptance. And knowing that he is there through his forgiveness, you can understand and embrace his love for you, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his no keeping records of any of your wrongs. That is the love of God. And so if your understanding is darkened through things that are not true, then you will find yourself alienated from the life of God, alienated from the love of God. All right, now I want you to think about the sermons that you heard on the radio today. Just take a moment and think about those, in addition to this program, or that you have heard previously. Did you get the sense from your recent Sunday morning sermon, or the one that you heard today, did you get the sense from the message that was communicated to you that God doesn't really accept you? Did you get that message? Was that delivered in a way that you understood that? That your God does not really accept you. That you are not so acceptable to God. That he doesn't really love you. Now, of course, I'm not talking about the beginning of the message. I'm talking about the end of the message, because this is where you usually get it. You get it at the end. You know, at the beginning, it's always, oh, yes, God loves you. He forgives you. He accepts you. Oh, yes, absolutely. Unconditionally, you're good with God. But, you know, by the end of the message, for some reason, there is just this creative, artful way that this gets communicated, that God doesn't really accept you. He doesn't really love you as much as he could, because, you know, you've got some sin in your life and you need to get that under control. You know, we don't know necessarily what it is, or maybe they even named it. But either way, you will be relentlessly bombarded relentlessly. It will never end. You will be bombarded. You will be flooded with all these subtle ways of being told that no, God doesn't really love you. No, he doesn't really accept you. You need to work harder to get your flesh under control. You need to be obedient because we know you are not. You know, you're not so obedient, not as much as you need to be, not as much as you should be. You need to repent of more sins in your life. This is how you get blessed. This is how you stay right with God. You know, they just do this. You will be relentlessly hit with these messages in one way or another, which tells you fundamentally that you are not acceptable to God. And if they don't tell you that, the devil surely will. And you have plenty of sin in your life that the devil and his angels can remind you of, can tell you about, you know, all the 30 sins that you committed in the last hour, whatever it may be. They don't even need to pick on all of those. They can just find one or two and just emphasize those. And they can relentlessly remind you. If the pastor won't do it, the devil certainly will remind you that you are not acceptable to God. That you are not loved by your God. What does this do? This alienates you from the love of God. It alienates you from the life of God. That's verse 18. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. And that's what it will come down to. It will come down to your ignorance and your blindness. You must know the forgiveness of God that leads to the resurrection within you to make you into a new creation who is loved and accepted perfectly. And until you do, you will be ignorant. You will be ignoring the abundance of truth that your God has made available for you to discover, know, understand, and embrace that says that this is the truth. You are ignoring what he has provided concerning this subject, and your heart is blind to how he truly relates to you. And until you do accept the truth, what more do you expect him to show you, to tell you? It is all plainly available. You make the effort to see what God has said concerning his life, his love, and his acceptance for you. Otherwise, we just go to verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness, which are descriptions of how a person will relate to those around them, how a person will relate to the world that they are a part of when they are not resting in the love and the acceptance of God. These are indicators that a person is not close to their God, does not know their God, is alienated from the life of God. Now, what most people will do is they will say, well, this is the list of what we are to do now that we are Christians. But what people end up doing is they end up trying to live in these ways while they are alienated from the life of God, which means the only way will be through repentance and obedience, which never works. And I will explain this more in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.